welcome. Welcome to Reflections in the Dark. I'm Richard Grund here on Firefall Talk Radio, broadcasting live at Spreaker.com. When we first started the show in May of 2010, the intent was to expose the powers of darkness, to live out Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the worthless deeds of darkness and evil, instead expose them. Well, consider them exposed. That's what we've been doing here since May 2010, and we've been doing with SRT, the Supernatural Response Team, since July 2007, coming up on our 10-year anniversary. A lot of great things going on, but you can always find us here on Sunday nights. Most of the time, summer gets a little difficult flying solo. Joe was caught in traffic and wasn't going to make it home on time. These things happen. Sometimes life gets in the way, so it's just me and you. But if you want to find the shows, they're here, they're archived, you can download them, you can share them. We still have the Blog Talk Radio account where there are 7 years worth of shows that have been archived, including these. I post them late on Sunday night, and also you can find us on iTunes. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we do The Porch, an online fellowship, a Bible study, where people from all over the world, we pray together, we share praise reports, prayer requests, and then I share with you whatever the Lord has given me to share for that particular night. If you want to support Firefall, The Porch, or SRT, you can go to onsolomonsport.org, firefalltalkradio.com, or supernaturalresponse.net. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/supernaturalresponseteam. You can also find that on the SRT Facebook page, and also find our Twitter link there as well. And the Twitter link for Firefall Talk Radio is at Firefall Talk. Check those pages regularly. If we're not doing a show, I'll probably announce it more likely on Facebook and Twitter. Definitely on Facebook. Well, here we are, 8 weeks out from Kansas. A lot of work to do. We need your help. But one of the things that we will be doing from Kansas while we're there is doing online, sometimes live reports. We'll be posting pictures on Facebook and our new Instagram page, which I registered but don't have any content up yet. But we'll also be doing live feeds from there, even from within the Sally House. So it's going to be something exciting, something new. Something big and dangerous. If you'd like to partner with us on this mission and this documentary, which is called The Deep Darkness, you've been hearing it for weeks. If you've seen me speak like I did recently in Alabama, you know that we are committed to this. This is a major special event, a unique genre-changing documentary that will open up the eyes of the world, the paranormal community, and the church. If you want to partner with us, you want to support it, you want to donate, go to thedeepdarkness.com, all one word, straight across, thedeepdarkness.com. You can contact us. There are ways there to do that. If you are serious, if you have serious inquiries of how to partner with us, let us know and we'll contact you and we can talk about it. If you have any talents, skills, or abilities that would be helpful in the production or the post-production process, promotion, marketing, graphics, things like that, let us know as well. And we're looking for sponsors and in-kind support. That's the way a lot of these projects get done. People donate the use of a vehicle or a motorhome or a service, or maybe they know a company that'll donate product that'll fit into the project that we don't have to purchase. There's a lot of ways to do it. There's another way that you can do it, to become a part of the SRT's aerial support team. If you write us at supernaturalresponse.net, use the contact button, mention SRT aerial support. I am creating a page within the website that only our partners will have access to, where prayer requests and people can share things. Maybe you get a word of knowledge. Maybe you get something you want to share. Maybe people want to get together online via Skype or one of the other social media video platforms. You can do that. This is big. This is different. We want you to be a part of it when it comes out, when it makes it into the film festivals and hopefully the theaters and Amazon and Netflix and iTunes and all the places that these things wind up going, you'll know that you were a part of its success. So as I said, flying solo. So let's get started. Strange week. Interesting week. It's always when you live the life that I do, doing what I do, it's different. I don't know how to describe it. It's definitely not your normal everyday life, which is why I give my wife credit. You never know what's going to show up in the night. You never know what you're going to see outside in the dark. It's just that kind of a life. And this has been a strange week in that regard. As I said on the porch, for a while there, we were in serious drought. Now we're in nonstop storms and rain. And yesterday was a good day for sunshine. Got to lay out in the pool finally, work on my summer tan. And then I guess because of the amount of heat, last night we had some explosive storms. I mean, storms that the lightning and the thunder just rocked the house. And then right across the street, we're across from a lake, lightning struck a AT&T junction box. It was an explosion. It was like a movie effect. And luckily, that didn't affect us at all. But it was scary. And it made me think about the times that we're living in. We're living in a time of scary storms, both natural and supernatural. And this is just a time for us to really pay attention. So this week, maybe you follow us on Facebook. You know I posted this. The summer solstice, June 21st. It's a big event in the pagan world, in the New Age world, in the occult world. Well, on June 21st, about 13,000 people watched the sunrise at Stonehenge. That was Wednesday morning. The longest day of the year. I remember as a kid when that date would come along, I didn't know anything about summer solstice or any of the occult implications. What I knew was this was going to be the longest day of the year. This was going to be the day I was going to be able to stay out longer. And it would be that way for a little while. And, of course, eventually we know that it winds down. But the summer and the winter solstice hold a special significance for the pagan community. If you don't know it, the word solstice is a Latin word, solstitium, which means sun standing still. So on June 21st, the celebration, the ritual, everything's about the sun standing still. Hold on to that thought. Pagans have always believed that the summer solstice, known as the Midsummer Eve, you know, midsummer, the midpoint of the growing season, had a special power. Midsummer's Eve was believed to be the time when the veil between this world and the next is at its thinnest. The only other time they have that thought is on Halloween, Feast of Samhain. They thought it was the time when the fairies and the supernatural creatures would also be at their most powerful. Summer solstice celebrated as a time of plenty and celebration. According to the Pagan Federation, I didn't even know there was a Pagan Federation, but there is. The summer solstice is important because of that time of plenty and celebration, whereas the winter solstice is important to them because it marks the rebirth of the sun of the new year. Now, if you're not a pagan and maybe you're a believer, maybe you're somebody like I used to be, you'd had a knee-jerk reaction to what I'm talking about. I used to because I came out of the occult. You know, like a reformed alcoholic or somebody who used to smoke or whatever, and I'm putting it in very simple worldly terms, I would have a very knee-jerk, get-that-away-from-me reaction to where, as I've gotten older and more mature, I began to look for what the Lord's trying to show me in the midst of the revelation, in the midst of the topic. Too many people within the church and within the spiritual community have their heads in the sand. Don't tell me about that. Don't tell me about the paranormal stuff. You're doing what in Kansas? Oh, no. Put my finger in my ears. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, that's fine. You can live a life like that. But I'm going to tell you, you stick your head in the sand. There's a part of your anatomy that's sticking way up in the air, and it's a good target. So this signals for them the sun's path stops moving northward. Stops moving northward in the sky, and the days suddenly begin to get shorter as we march towards coldness and darkness. So many spiritual implications there, I don't have time to go through them all. But think about that. This is the time when the brightness of the sun has reached its apex, and now we're moving towards coldness and darkness. But the thing is, we won't really notice that. We won't notice that the days are becoming shorter for a while. And I would always remember as a kid, because it always tied into going back to school, that at this point you could stay out later longer, you could play more. And then sometime around August, you'd see a change, and then September, October, November, and then you get into that December 21st winter solstice. In case you didn't know it, here's a trivia. If you're ever on Jeopardy, one of those game shows, did you know that in the traditional farming calendar, the summer solstice falls between the quieter period, between the planting of the crops and the harvesting of the crops, leaving the people who work the land time to relax? And this lull in the farming calendar was why June became the popular month for weddings. And it still is that case to this day. I did not know that. But there's all sorts of implications there. See, this is not the time to rest. This is really not the time to celebrate. This is the time to get ready for the coldness and the darkness that is coming. And that's why those 13,000 people were at Stonehenge. Stonehenge has always fascinated me. It was built in three phases between 3000 BC and 1600 BC. And actually, I watched a show yesterday on the Smithsonian Channel that I'm going to do some more research on that indicated it might go back even to 5000 BC. The huge stones that are there were brought from very long distances, some from 150 miles away, some from as close as 19 miles north. And the question becomes, how did they get them there? How did these hunter-gatherers get these huge blocks of stone to where they are to set them up the way they do? How did they know that it lined up with the sun the way it did, that the sun would come through into the circle the way it does? How did the people in Egypt know that? Because at the same time Stonehenge was being constructed in England, two great pyramids and a sphinx were being built in Egypt. And if you stood at the sphinx on the summer solstice and gazed towards the two pyramids, you'd see the sunset exactly between them. And then there are these signs all over the world that can only be seen from above. Who did them? Who designed them? Of course, you know where I'm going to go with that, but I'm going to leave it alone. But these are all over the world. And if you want to know the name of that show, hold on here. My iPhone closed on me. Going back to that storm, if I stutter or take a long pause, normally I do my show here in the studio as I always do, but I have this big monitor where I can split my notes and the sound board and everything. Well, in the midst of that major surge last night, my monitor no longer works. And I'm going to have to take my laptop into Apple because it's not working right. And my router is only working on Wi-Fi. It's not allowing me to work directly plugged in, which is a much better connection. And before you tell me surge protectors, I have some of the best. But what you know about lightning is this. It's so powerful. Surge protectors usually mean nothing. The name of the show on the Smithsonian Channel, if you want to look it up, is Skyview Mysteries, Myth, and Legends. 2007 they were produced, and it was so fascinating to watch. I watched about three or four in a row that I began to think I'm watching this for more than just my own entertainment, because I saw some possible SRT assignments as I was watching them. I can't go into too much detail here yet. I need a confirmation on that, but maybe the deep darkness will go to England and Ireland and Scotland and some of the places that these stories begin. Amazingly enough, this has nothing to do with tonight, but in all of these places, there are stories about giants, stories about battles about giants. One of them had a graphic in the ground that can only be seen from above about one of the giants. So you look at this and you go, who did this? What's this really all about? I'm just going to throw one thought at you, and if you want to write me, go to supernaturalresponse.net. Tell me what you think. But as I watched all of these stone circles, and Stonehenge, by the way, is more than just the one group of stones we see. It's actually a massive complex of stones and sites and hills and burial mounds, just like I talked about in Alabama that we have here in America, and what now some of us call Nephilim mounds. What was the purpose? Well, I had this one thought, and this is what my note said. Is it possible that these circles all over the world, all of these mounds, all of these sacred sites were placed there as communication or gateways or portals or windows into the pit, like going to a prison and visiting somebody through glass? They can't get out. They are imprisoned, but they want to communicate with you. I think the fallen, and I think the ones that are in the pit, the higher-ranking demons, they found a way to continue to influence humanity. Again, my theory, but I'm going to find a way to prove that, and I think one of the ways to prove that is for SRT to go there, do what we do, and get the evidence, audio, visual, digital, EMF, whatever, to show that on this place, at this time, there's something more going on than meets the eye. When you think about the sun and you think about the solstice and you think about everything that I'm talking about, you have to take a moment to talk about Solar Eclipse 2017, which is one of the parts of the story we're going to be telling in Atchison, Kansas. It's only 57 days away, folks. That's how close it is. A total eclipse during the new moon, the blocking of the sun. According to New Age and astrological beliefs, solar eclipses take place at the time of the new moon and usher in a 6-month to a 1-year cycle of external change. Considering that this thing is splitting the United States north and south, what is the 6-month to 1-year cycle of change? What is going to happen? If you saw me in Alabama, you were privileged to have access to the video. You know, I've done a lot of research on this, and I shared my personal beliefs and what my theories are. What's not a theory is that from Oregon to South Carolina, Salem, Oregon, all the way down to Charleston, South Carolina, and many other states in between, there'll be totality, total darkness, where you'll see the corona of the sun. You'll see this black circle with an image of light around it. Have you thought about, as we've talked about this, that there's going to be an effect on the world? I've talked about what I think the spiritual effects might be. But what about the animals and the creatures that live by the sun and by the moon? They're going to see that darkness. They're going to see the sun disappear. They're going to see the slow fading of sunlight and think it's nighttime. Daytime creatures are going to get ready for night. Turtles and snakes and alligators that have been sunning themselves will slip into the shadows and slip into the water. Robins and birds and other songs that will begin to sing their evening songs, and the chickens and the turkeys and things like that will go to roost. Nocturnal animals and insects will begin to stir and wake up. The daytime blooming flowers will start to close, thinking that nighttime is upon them. It's going to cause confusion in the natural world. What kind of confusion is it going to cause in the spiritual world? Half the world will suddenly be think it's nighttime and start preparing. And it's been known and recognized that during major solar eclipses like this one, the birds and the insects will lapse into an eerie silence. They'll know that something is wrong. Though they can't tell time, I don't know how they do it. My dogs will know that it's their time to eat. We feed them at very specific times of day. We do things at very specific times of day. They have an internal clock that this thing will throw everything off. And then, to create even more confusion, it won't last but for a few minutes. And then the ones that were starting to go to sleep will realize it's not time to sleep and wake up. The ones who woke up will think, well, I need to go back to sleep, and they'll try to go back to sleep. This massive confusion will cover just the United States. There's so many implications there that we cannot ignore them. But what we can do is we can recognize this massive sign in the heavens that many believe is a sign for America. So what's going on in the world that may have something to do with this? Of course, there are no scientists outside of the fringe element that will even enter into the conversation I'm about to have. Because fear, not being able to explain it, not having empirical scientific evidence to say, yes, you're right, but also not wanting to get into the supernatural and the spiritual implications. Yellowstone National Park, the super volcano, the caldera that is there, has been rippling. Over the last 2 weeks, according to a news report today, 770 earthquakes. There were 464 in 1 week. One of them was a 4.5. And researchers are saying, well, the activity in the supervolcano was low and the quakes are nothing to be concerned about. They're very common in the area. The University of Utah, which specifically monitors the volcano, said that the earthquake swarms are nothing new. I'm sorry, in 2017, where we are now, there's more than just ignoring it to say there's nothing new. So when you look at this, when you examine what's going on, I'm sorry, there's something about Yellowstone that should always get our attention. I know it. I know that the scientists will tell you that, yes, this was the highest number of earthquakes in a single week in the last 5 years, but we had similar swarms in 2002, 2004, 2008, and 2010. Yellowstone, one of the most seismically active, has 1,000 to 3,000 earthquakes a year. And 40 to 50% of them happen in swarms. But then there are others. Scientist Michio Kaku warned on Fox News that this supervolcano is long overdue for an eruption. And such an event would rip the guts out of the USA. His words, not mine. The magma, I always have to say it as, my brain just went blank, because even though Joe is not on the air, he's still harassing me. Forget it. My brain is blank. But this is what Joe's doing, folks. He's getting even with me for all the times that when he's in the middle of a major point and feeling really good about himself and he's flowing, I will send him an image to throw him off, and he loses place and he starts laughing, and I guess payback is what they say it is. So anyway, this magma reserve, Dr. Evil, that's his name, in the Yellowstone National Park is called one of the biggest time bombs. A volcanic eruption in Yellowstone would change the world as we know it, kill hundreds of thousands of people, and change the layout of the land. And as I began to research today, as I began to look at the signs and all of the possible things that are going on, I stumbled onto something I want to talk to you about. And had Joe gotten home in time, had he not gotten stuck in traffic, had he left early enough, he'd be here to talk about this with me. It's very interesting stuff. You've heard us mention a man named Edgar Casey, called the Sleeping Prophet. Born in 1877, died in 1945. He's not a biblical prophet. He's an American psychic who supposedly had the ability to channel answers to questions on subjects such as healing or about Atlantis. And basically, he would go into a hypnotic trance, and he'd be picking up information from somewhere. Basically, what I think Casey was, as I believed he was somebody that through, like I had, ancestral issues, things inside of us that were not there with biblical basis or a gift from God, he could pick up signals. Same thing with Tesla, people like that. You begin to hear and see things that maybe you have no business hearing and seeing. And Casey would go to sleep, and he would go into a trance, and he would answer questions. And one of the things he talked about, he coined a term called earth changes. You hear it a lot in the New Age and occult writings. Basically, what earth changes are, according to Edgar Casey, is a series of cataclysmic events, which he prophesied would take place in future decades. Noticeably, the earth shifting on its axis, which it did with that massive earthquake a few years ago where we had that tsunami. Most of California dropping into the Pacific Ocean because of a catastrophic earthquake, which is what would happen if the two faults along the West Coast were to go. Earth, that whole West Coast area, like pickup sticks, suddenly everything would line up. There would be nothing holding it, and it would just drop into the ocean. So he was seeing things at a time that science had not talked about it, which had been foretold. He foresaw a world in apocalyptic events, a period of purifications using natural disasters that would dramatically alter the face of the earth. Wars, economic collapse, social and political unrest. So, in this concept of earth changes, hold on here. Got to switch my notes. In this concept of earth changes, the world would go through these events just before the return of the Lord. His words, not mine. And this is what struck me. So during a period of time, he lived in Virginia Beach. That's where the Edgar Casey Foundation is. During this time, he did 14,246 psychic readings. And if you've never seen somebody do one that's real, I have. It will make all of your spiritual bells and whistles go off because you know that what they're communicating with is not a divine creature. So basically, during this one event, towards the end of his life, person would ask questions about, he talked about these changes. And the question was, how should we regard those changes that come about? And the answer that whatever it was speaking through Casey said is, what is needed most in the earth today? That the sons of men be warned that the day of the Lord is at hand. That must have confused the person that was transcribing. So the person asked, what is meant by the day of the Lord is near at hand? And the answer that Casey gave in this trance is, that has been promised through the prophets and the sages of old. The time and the half-time has been and is being fulfilled in this day and generation. Soon there will again appear in the earth that one through whom many will be called to meet those that are preparing the way for his day in the earth. The Lord then will come, even as you've seen him go. This is prior to Israel becoming a nation. This is prior to Roswell. This is prior to everything that happened in 1947. So had this happened afterwards, had this happened in the 50s or the 60s, I would say that this person had been influenced about what was being spoken about. He went on to say that the surface of the earth would change to a point. And so I looked at the maps that they created based upon Casey's trance prophecies. They match exactly the maps that the Hopi Indians created about the time when the earth shifts and the water floods. They match exactly the maps of what will happen when the New Madrid Fault goes and how the water will shift the land. Casey was seeing something. Who it was that he was seeing it from, I have no idea. I have no idea who it was that he was seeing this from or hearing this from. It could be possible that he actually picked up on something. Maybe an angel slipped into the mix. I don't know. But when you read the link, and if you want the link, I will post it on the SRT Facebook page. And if you're not on Facebook, you write me and I'll send it to you. And you read what he had to say. It didn't come true. His timelines did not line up. But some of them did happen. And some of them have been prophesied will happen. So he tapped into something. So here we have Yellowstone National Park. It's rumbling. It's shaking. So I had this idea. I wonder if the solar eclipse of 2017 August 20th, is going to go over Yellowstone National Park. Yeah, 99% total eclipse. It won't have the totality where they'll see the corona of the sun, but it's going to be in the darkness. And when you look at the map from Oregon to Wyoming, Kansas, Tennessee, and all the other states in between Georgia, and it gets to Charleston, and you realize, and I just got goosebumps as I said that, and there's nothing in the room that would cause that. This eclipse is creating a period of natural and supernatural darkness over major New Age sites, mountains, cliffs, volcanoes, land, sacred areas. I'm hoping that in doing this documentary and getting some other people to do reports from where they are, we will tie this all together, and maybe we won't prove anything to convince you 100%. Well, if you're listening to the show, you probably will be more convinced than most. But to the other people out there, to get them to stop and to think, are we in that time? Are we in a time that we need to worry about where we're going to spend eternity? Are we in a time that we should be alert and aware, maybe not afraid? Well, some people should be afraid because what they're looking at is pretty bad. Maybe you saw it on the news, and since we're just chatting here, Arizona's melting, literally. They're averaging, they've had a couple of 120-degree heat days. Plastic mailboxes are melting. The giant bins that they use for garbage and recycling are melting. Animals are getting heat stroke. People are getting heat stroke. Anybody foolish enough to walk their animals on pavement without covering their paws are getting burned. Dr. Kevin Foster, director of the Arizona Burn Center, said this June has been the worst that the center has seen in 18 years. People are getting contact burns from touching hot car interiors or walking outside barefoot. Or one, if you look at the videos and the images online, some people have put cookie dough on a platter on the dashboard of the car and left the windshield uncovered. And, of course, it does what you think it's going to do. It bakes them into cookies. But this kind of strange behavior. Don't say global warming. Don't point me in that direction because I'll be off on another tangent. The weather, the signs, everything that we're watching right now in June of 2017 are indicators that we can't ignore. I read this article about solar eruptions. That we've talked about this before. And this one particular article, a very clever headline, says, "Ultraviolet, the sun is sneezing. Powerful solar eruptions onto the Earth, increasing the risk of cancer and long-term power cuts." We could just say it's natural. The sun does this periodically. The whole global warming thing, periodically the Earth does this. It has cycles. It has order. I think we're in a different period. But we need to pay attention to the effect of solar flares, because a massive solar eruption from the sun could wipe out electronic devices, the grid, cause cancer risks for anybody up in the sky, pilots, passengers, whatever. So I did some research, since I was going to touch on this subject. What would happen if a massive solar flare hit the Earth? Well, it can create disruptions. It can temporarily alter the upper atmosphere. Large fluctuations, not just one long one. Basically, these things come in waves, kind of like the lightning we saw last night. We saw one flash, then another, then we saw a bigger one, where suddenly the night sky was lit up and everything was bright, and then we saw the big one that blew up the transformer across the street and probably blew out my monitor and affected my router and hopefully not my laptop, but there's parts of it that don't seem to be working. That's power. That's power that the early world had a lot more respect for than we do. So if these fluctuations can blow out the transformers and the power grids, kind of like that lightning did, I've seen them hit transformers on the power lines. We actually had one during a show while we were talking. Lightning hit the transformer right in front of the house. I could see it, blew it up, and knocked us off the air. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a happenstance. Could have been just something that happened. Doesn't matter. But the fact is, we are dependent upon electronics. Our technological world would suffer irreparable damage. Satellites in space that tell us things about weather or security or whatever would be gone. Scientists usually have a warning. They have a system in place that could give us enough time to turn things off, put things in those bags that protect them, of which I have none. But these coronal mass ejections, CMEs, have tricked them. And here's why I wanted to share this with you. They used to think that these were occurring in such a way, and all of their warning systems were, like solar winds, kind of like weather patterns. Well, now that's not what they're seeing. They're seeing that they are single bubble-like entities, like clouds. Not long streams of wind that you can see where they're coming and where they're going. No, there's sudden burst of power. Huge blast of magnetic energy. We're back to that whole magnetic field concept. That go from the sun into the Earth's atmosphere. And as I believe, the Earth was designed to absorb the elements of the sun to sustain life. This is a massive overload of sunshine. If we took a direct hit, that would be it. Our electronics, our satellites would be damaged, sometimes to the point of no return. Astronauts, aviation people, passengers, you would not want to be up in the sky. What I think is happening, and this would be a Stan Deo moment to have him explain it better, but these solar flares, I think, are a part of the package of judgment. They're going to disrupt the natural magnetic fields of the Earth to the point that it's either going to get our attention or it's going to punish us. I don't know how else to put it. I don't want to go too far with that. That's more of what I do on Wednesday night. But their ability to predict them has changed. That should frighten us. The people that were once warning us it happened one way, now it happens like an explosive burst, like a sneeze. That's why they called it that. Made up of individual plasma particles doing their own thing, meaning they have no clue what they're doing. So here we are in the midst of all this, in the midst of dealing with the paranormal, dealing with the supernatural, dealing with everything that's going on. How do we prepare? How do we get ready for this? Some of you may say, well, you can't, Richard. Everything you just told me is beyond anything I can understand, beyond anything I can prepare for. You can prepare spiritually. There are things you can do prepper-wise if you want to do that. Matter of fact, there are financial projections that the whole survival prepper industry is probably a better investment than the stock market at the moment. But when you sit down at night and end your day, where do your thoughts go? When you get up in the morning and you think about your day, where do your thoughts go? I live in Florida. I get up in the morning. I watch the sun come up. I see it reflect off the water in my pool. I listen to the birds. We have robins. We have cardinals. We have blue jays and crows fighting aerial dogfights in the air. We have three hawks. We had one. She was a female. She's obviously given birth. And they moved out of the nest. It's empty nest syndrome for her. But there are three right around our house. And some days I will get up and take the dogs out. And as the sun starts to come up, they start to chirp. And they start to talk. And it's just listening to the sounds of nature. And being in the midst of all that, I stop and I consider my Creator. I stop and consider my own mortality and my place in His plan. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe that's not your day. Maybe that's not what you're interested in. Maybe you don't come here to Reflections in the Dark to hear that. But you can't talk about the darkness. You can't talk about the supernatural. You can't talk about demons without talking about angels. You can't talk about evil without talking about good. You can't talk about Satan and all the things that the paranormal community wants to talk about and not talk about the God that created him. I watch these shows to keep track on the paranormal propaganda masquerading as spiritual truth. And I look at what's being presented and I realize that they want to deliberately ignore a potential truth. They don't. When I watched that show yesterday, I watched a show about UFOs, which talked about them. They were creating. They came here before, and they did this, and they did that, and they were astronauts. And I want to go. You are presenting a paradigm of thought that fits into one peg into one hole, and you don't want to accept the fact that Genesis 6 answers your question much better. The fallen angels, Mount Hermon, the Watchers. They talk about the hybrid humanity. They one of them even said Nephilim, but then he turned it into another direction. The enemy doesn't mind if you have a partial truth. They don't want you to have the whole truth. And what we're here to do on Reflections in the Dark through what SRT does is to shine the light into the darkness. Sometimes we go into the darkness. We grab things by the scruff of their neck and we say, hey, folks, take a look at this. This is what's really going on here. Let's knock off the masks, let's knock off the Halloween costumes, and let's get people to see that there is a whole other world that they refuse to acknowledge that there are dangerous things in. That's my hope. That's why we do what we do. Like I said, I live in Florida, and there are indigenous threats. If I go down to the lake, I know that there are gators there. I know not to walk my dog or let my dog go into the water, for alligators, dogs are a delicacy. I know not to do that. I know that there are snakes. I know that there are certain spiders. I know that there are things that are dangerous to me, and I do the best that I can to avoid them, to not engage them, to not put myself in danger. If you live in Arizona, there are scorpions. If you live in all the states, there is a certain threat that is indigenous to that area. Well, there is an indigenous threat to the entire earth, that no matter where you go, whether you believe in it or not, there is an element, there is something in that darkness that does not like you, that wants to destroy you. It's time that we wake up. For years we had themes. We started the themes with wake up. Then the theme was we're awake. This year was let's get back to basics. Both here on Reflections in the Dark and on the Porch. And in everything we do and in the seminars I do, getting back to basics. That's part of the reason why this rewrite of the supernatural battle is taking me so long. I get this flash of the basics and what it's really all about, and it just keeps expanding. Because I don't want to write multiple books. I'm not going to turn it into an industry or a money-making endeavor like some do. I want you to have the information to the best of my ability once and for all. I don't know how much time we have. Hopefully I have enough time for us to go out and do 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of these documentaries. So that if for some reason we suddenly disappear in the twinkling of an eye, if we're suddenly gone because of the digital age, somebody could find a copy of it somewhere and put it into their device or bring it up onto their tablet or whatever and say, wow, these guys were onto something. Maybe I need to look. Maybe I need to consider my ways. Over the next couple of months, I said we're 57 days away from the solar eclipse. We are 54 or 5 days away from us being in Kansas, settling in, beginning to do what we do. And for 2 nights and a day and a half, we will be in the Sally House, one of the most haunted houses in America, in one of the most haunted cities in Kansas, in what I believe to be the most haunted state in America, Kansas itself. We will be visiting all of the haunted sites. Of course, we'll be using the camera to document all that so that when it's done and edited and put together, you could take that trip with us. You could learn with us what we learn. You can have the revelation and everything that we share with you, which will be concluded with all of the conclusions and the presentations and everything that we've come up with, all of us that are there, everybody having their part. And then it's up to you to do what you want with it. This film isn't about preaching to you. This film isn't about changing your mind. This film is about presenting you with the truth as we know it. And then you can do with it what you will. I don't know how else to put it. We're not looking to destroy people. We're not looking to attack. Well, there might be one or two entities I wouldn't mind a confrontation with. But as far as the human ones, I know that my wrestling, our confrontation is not with flesh and blood. That's what the show is about. That's why we're still on the air. I thought about it before I came on, and I hope you don't mind me just talking to you. It's just a couple of friends talking together, me and you. 7+ years. Most other people have come and gone. Most of the people that started out when we did, they've come and gone. They've moved on to other things. Yes, Joe, I am talking to you. And had you got home on time, son, you'd be on air with me. Anyway, 7+ years. There's no pay in this. Actually, it cost me money to do it. Cost me time. I don't go anywhere on Sundays unless I absolutely have to, whether I'm speaking or like with this mission. I'm going to try to do a show from there. We may have to record it, or maybe we'll just sit in the Sally House on Sunday night with the team. And we'll do a show with you. We'll see how that works out. We'll see if the timing works out. If not, we may have to do it a little bit later, but we are going to broadcast from within the Sally House. We are going to share with you and talk to you as best we can. But our whole intention, when Joe and I got together, you may have heard this already, when we first got together, introduced by Patty Heron, great author, a sorely missed man. We did a practice run. We sat in his den and put up a video camera, and we just did a practice run of a show, and then it grew out of that, and we went on Blog Talk first, and there was some stumbles. There was some guests we had that we never had again. That happens. But then the focus came in. Why are we doing this? And it became more about the information than the people. And so here we are, Sunday, June 25th, 2017. And we're going to keep doing this. As long as we have the time, as long as I feel that this is what the Lord wants us to do, we're going to do it. Because if only one person that's listening to this right now suddenly makes a redirection in their life, suddenly looks at the ghost hunting, paranormal investigation thing, and sees it for what it really is, it's dangerous. Going to the graveyards, going into these homes, doing what TV encourages you to do is spiritual Russian roulette. And you don't understand the danger of it. Maybe you will, maybe you'll stop. We've had people do that. We've had people that we've either ministered to personally or because of this show take a look at what they're doing and make some changes. Maybe you won't. But here's my thing. And forgive me if this sounds harsh. I really don't care what you decide to do. You're an adult. You're a human being. You have free will. Whatever you do is on you. And if it works out, then God gets the glory. If it doesn't, there's nothing more than I can say. I'm not here to convince you. Joe doesn't come on here to convince you. We just like hanging out with you. We like talking to you. We like interacting with you. Many of you become friends. Some of you very good friends. Some of you partners. And, you know, I wasn't prepared on going here, but it just seems like this is where I'm being led to. Unlike a lot of the other shows and a lot of the other people out there, especially the eggheads, we really care about you. Some of you have reached out for help, and the Lord says, go, and we've either raised the money or gone into our own pockets. We've taken the brunt of the attack that comes from it because of the compassion in our heart. This isn't for vain personal glory. This is for His glory, and more than anything, it's to help people. Some of these paranormal shows, they talk about, oh, we're helping people. No, they're not. They're just telling them what they already know. They have a problem. They offer them no solutions, and they don't fix anything. Many times, they make it worse. We do what we do, all of us, me and Joe and the other members of the team. We do it because we care. The Wednesday night Bible studies, I think I've missed one or two in 7 years. It's important. This is important. You're important. And the darkness that is coming is unlike anything we've ever seen before. A lot of people out there say, as it was in the days of Noah, they don't read clearly what the Lord said. It's going to be worse than that. It's going to be a darkness unlike anything the world has ever seen before. And if you understand the days of Noah, whether intellectually or spiritually, and then your mind wraps itself around the fact that it's going to be worse than that, you should want an answer. You should want to be able to do something about it. And that's what we do here, and that's what SRT does. And that's why, as much as I hate the whole, help us out, donate, do whatever, and I hate it. If you've listened to me for 7 years, I chew on my tongue when I have to say that. Because I've been victimized, you've been victimized, there are people out there taking advantage of it. But this documentary is probably the most important thing we've done to date. To shine the light, to expose the enemy, to reveal what's really going on in Atchison, Kansas, in such a way that it will change the entire viewpoint. write us. Go to supernaturalresponse.net. Some of you got into the chat room. It's hard for me to communicate with you while I'm doing this. As we get bigger and better, and that's the other thing that will come out of the deep darkness, will the ability have the ability to create a team and become more interactive, to create a forum so that you guys can talk to one another, maybe minister to one another, share prayers, or you can reach out to us in such a way that we can talk to you in real time. Right now, we're basically a two-man show, and I'm a one-man band, and sometimes I hit the cymbal at the wrong time or I miss a note. It is what it is. We do the best with what we have. That's it. Going to end a little early. Let us know. Let us know what you think. Maybe I touched on something you don't understand. You need an answer. Reach out. Maybe it inspired you. Edification keeps us going. We love to be inspired. SupernaturalResponse.net. If you send a message for Joe, I'll forward it to him. But let's look at this new season. Yes, the sunlight is going down. Yes, we are heading towards a very subtle darkness and a coldness, but not us. You, me, Joe, SRT, the porch community, we're going to stand strong. We're going to stand tall, and we're going to shine the light into that darkness so that other people that are wandering around and stubbing their spiritual toes can go, hey, there's some light. I'm going over there. It's dark, but we're going to leave the light on. Thanks for riding with me tonight. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.